The following program's views, claims, or representations may not reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Media Group.
Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight right here on your radio dial. I hope you'll be able to tune in or stay tuned in with us and join in the conversation here this evening. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we can get you on the air with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And we'd love to have you join us here tonight. And we'll start our program with a word of prayer here this evening. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air. Bless the program tonight. Thank you for the opportunity to use it for your glory. We just pray that we could point people to Christ, encourage people in their walk with you. And I just pray you would bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, good to be with you tonight. And we are trying our Facebook live broadcast again. And if you'll notice, I don't have the, if you're on Facebook Live, I don't have the little dangly thing hanging from the headset here. We had a gentleman at church. He wired me up a little box that's got some connections in it so that I could connect the Chromebook that we're using for Facebook Live directly into the microphone, or the headset jack. I'm being looked at here, I'm just mumbling. But hopefully the sound is going through, and we're going to see what happens here, and we'll just give this a try tonight. So pray for us. We're trying to learn how to use this so that we can do a little more, hopefully reach a few more people, and be able to point people towards the Lord through this means. But of course, just a reminder, you can watch us on, like I said, Facebook Live if you're on Facebook. And if you're on Facebook, you can follow us there and like our page, Live with Pastor Al. If you want to check it out, just go on to facebook.com, and it's /Live with Pastor Al. And you should be able to, I was checking it out on another computer here, in the studio here, and I can see myself on there, and so hopefully I've obviously got the sound down, so hopefully people can hear me. I think I had a couple of people who are going to listen and hopefully type in whether or not they can hear us on that. But other than that, let me remind you to check us out on our webpage, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com, and not only can find a little bit out about myself and about our home church, the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, and some connections to our page for that, but you can also listen to some of our past programs. And in addition to our past programs, some of our listeners are in an area where you do not hear our Friday afternoon broadcast. Every Friday afternoon from 1:30 until 2 o'clock, we have a broadcast, and you can find that there as well. All of that's at livewithpastoral.com. And then, of course, there is a link there to our Facebook page and a number of things I try to put in there on Facebook, and hopefully it'd be a blessing, encouragement, and maybe educational or insightful in some way, help you with your walk with Christ. Well, again, as I said, this is Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Telephone lines are open. You can give us a call toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we'd love to hear from you tonight. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call here tonight. And I'll just talk about a couple of things here this evening. I think it's just kind of an interesting day today, a little bit different than our usual Sunday. I had our regular Sunday service this morning, and then our nursing home service this afternoon. And then this evening, I had the opportunity to actually go down to Copley, Ohio. For those of you not familiar with where that's at, it's just on the west side of Akron, Ohio. And a good friend of mine, Pastor Max McKenna, is retiring after 39 years as pastor of the Crusade Baptist Church in Copley, Ohio. And, they requested that I come to be a part of his retirement dinner. The church there had a special program and dinner for Pastor McKenna and his wife Kathy there tonight. And let me tell you, they did an outstanding job. And Pastor Snow, the new pastor, he was Pastor McKenna's assistant pastor for, I think, the last, or associate pastor for the last, I think, 6 or 7 years, was it? I think. I think they have the potential for a very smooth transition there, and it's just exciting to see the love that the people in the church had for their pastor. And I was thinking about that, and just the testimonies and the things that people said, and I thought, you know, this is just a small taste of one day when we get to heaven, and not only should it be the desire of every believer to hear the Lord say to them, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." But the other thing is to be able to run into people in heaven whose lives we impacted. Think about it. I mean, we go through life and we interact with people. Sometimes it's just a chance meeting. Sometimes we only see somebody once. Sometimes we see people for years and we develop a relationship with people, and we influence each other in some way, hopefully for good, and to point people towards Christ. That's what we hope to do here through Late Night Live with Pastor Al and through our home church, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. But, you know, to hear one after another different people, they had a short video of a number of people in the church just saying some things that they were thankful for about Pastor McKenna and some different things that memories that they had, and just to hear that. And I'm thinking, you know, when we get to heaven, to run into people that you impacted in this life that, you know, are there because perhaps you witnessed to them, perhaps that they're there because you invited them to church or gave them a gospel track or something like that, some way that you impacted them. Maybe you're out there, you're a Sunday school teacher, and you're working with some of these small children, and you think, I wonder how much they really remember. I wonder how much they retain. How much am I really influencing them? And I think more than one faithful Sunday school teacher, when they get to heaven, they're going to find somebody that perhaps was in their Sunday school class as a small child, little girl, little boy, maybe only 4 or 5 years old, and maybe their family moved away, and you think that, you know, you think, I never really had a chance to impact that child's life. And I think one of the surprises, or not one of the surprises, I think many of the surprises in heaven is going to be people that we'll run into, that they'll say, you know, you might not remember me, but there was a time when I sat in your Sunday school class, or there was a time when you told me about Jesus, and you might not have thought that it made any impact on me, but that was a seed that was planted in my heart that the Holy Spirit watered over the years, and eventually I put my faith in Christ as my Savior, and I'm here today. There was a song that made the circuits in the Christian, a Christian song made circuits a lot of churches some years ago. I'm thinking back in the 1980s, 1990s, it was really popular, called "Thank You," and I don't know all the lyrics, but it basically had that idea of walking through the streets in heaven and people coming up to you and saying, "You don't know me, but," and then they begin, you know, in the course of the lyrics of the song, they begin to reveal some, you know, say some things or whatever, how that that person influenced their life and help point them to Christ. And we think about that. That's a wonderful thing. And, you know, we should live our life as a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ, that we can point people to Christ and to help influence people in that fashion. So I just wanted to share some thoughts with that. And again, say congratulations to Pastor McKenna and the Crusade Baptist Church. And you've got a good pastor in Pastor Snow. And just our heart's felt prayer and desire is that they would continue smooth transition and the church would continue on and that God would continue to use all of them for His glory. And yeah, you ever think about it, as a pastor, and you know, I'm in my mid-50s, and I got a lot of time left, I think, serving as a pastor and doing various things. But you know, sometimes people retire and they retire on God. But I don't think that's the way it should be. I think that as long as there's breath in the body, we ought to be doing something. We ought to be trying in some fashion to try to reach out and to touch people's lives, try to reach out with the gospel message. You know, we're to go into all the world and preach the gospel, the Bible says. And it's not everybody's going to go to the mission field. Not everybody's going to be a pastor. Not everybody's going to be a Sunday school teacher. But everybody can do something in some way, in some fashion, attempting to go out into the world and try to reach people with the gospel. So wherever you might be, whatever opportunities God gives you, you should try to do the best where you're at with the opportunity that you have. And in sometimes I know, you know, you reach the point where you retire and you're not working full time, or somebody in the pastorate retires, they're not pastoring full time, but that doesn't mean you have to stop serving God. It just means you can find another way to serve God. I remember a gentleman, he's with the Lord now. He got saved when he was 79 years old at our church. And Brother Frank went to be with the Lord eventually, but when he was serving the Lord and, you know, his health was declining as he got older, and he eventually moved down, him and his wife moved down to Florida, down around Homestead, Florida, where Homestead Air Force Base used to be in that area, some family members down there. And I remember that after he was down there, his eyesight was failing. He wasn't able to drive anymore. And, you know, he's down in a retirement community, you know, and he thought, you know, most people thought, well, he's not going to do much of anything. Before he went down there, keep in mind, he was in his 80s, and he was going into, I think it was 3 nursing homes a week, every week, and talking with people and visiting people. And he just enjoyed telling people about Jesus. But when he went down to Florida, you might have thought, well, he's going to retire from all of that. He's getting into his upper 80s, and his health is failing, and his eyesight's gone. He can't drive. Well, his grandson took an old lawnmower, and they took the mowing deck off and everything, and gave it to him, and Frank would take that lawnmower, and he would drive that lawnmower down to a little strip mall there in the area where he lived. And there's a little place where there's a couple of trees growing there, a little shady spot, and a number of people would congregate there, and he would drive his little lawnmower there, and he'd sit there, and he'd talk to people. He'd stay there all day if he could get away with it, just talking to people about the Lord. He couldn't hardly see, couldn't really do much, but he could talk to people about the Lord, and he did what he could until finally the Lord took him home to be with Him. And how many people is he going to run into that say, you might not remember me, but I remember when you came into the nursing home. I remember when you were sitting on your lawnmower there in that little strip mall and talking about the Lord. And it just anytime that you have an opportunity, we got to try to do what we can to serve God. Well, as I said, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll be with you until midnight tonight. And let's see, I wanted to mention a couple of things here as soon as I can get this to cooperate and come up here. There's an article that I read online and want to get into this a little bit here tonight, and a number of people have been looking at it on Facebook. I posted it on our Facebook page, Live with Pastor Al, on Facebook, and the title of the article was Vatican Outlaws Use of Gluten-Free Bread for Holy Communion. Now, this caught my eye because I found this interesting because, of course, I'm not Catholic. I'm a Baptist, and the Baptists hold to the biblical position that when Jesus held up the bread and held up the fruit of the vine, he was being symbolic. He held up the, for instance, the unleavened bread. He said, "This is my flesh broken for, or my body broken for you." And obviously, he wasn't holding up, you know, his arm or something. He was holding up a piece of unleavened bread. And Paul, even writing about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he also talks about it being symbolic of the body and blood of Christ. And, there's been great controversy that has come in some circles since that time, but very clearly in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and starting in verse number 23, Paul writes this. He says, "For I have received of the Lord." Now, this tells us right here that this is the Holy Spirit of God speaking to Paul. This is not Paul's invention. Paul did not try to change things here. Paul is writing what God told him to write. "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in," now notice what he said, "in remembrance of me." Now there's a couple things going on there. He took some actual bread. Now we know that this would have been unleavened bread, because leavening in the Bible is a agent of decay. You have yeast in the bread dough, and it digests and decays the sugars and starches in the bread dough, and that's what causes the bread to rise, the dough to rise. And the Bible uses leaven as a picture of sin, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump, you know. And so unleavened bread would represent the body of Christ, which was without sin. And then Jesus had held that up, and he said, "This is my body." Obviously, he was being symbolic, and he was being symbolic when he held it up and then said, "This do in remembrance of me." He said, this is an object lesson, basically. This is something that you're to do in remembrance of me. And hopefully when you do this, this will bring to mind, now this is prior to the cross, this will bring to mind what I'm about to do on the cross. And it says, and it continues on, "After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me.'" Now I say the fruit of the vine because it would have been unfermented grape juice, which in the Bible here, the word wine in the 1600s referred to juice, whether it was fermented or not. We have an apple that grows called the wine sap, and it's talking about the not that the apple is alcoholic, but it's talking about the sweetness of the juice in the apple. And so the Bible refers to both unfermented and fermented grape juice as wine. And so we understand, like with the bread, it was unfermented because fermentation, the yeast again is digesting, decaying the sugars in the juice, and it changes it into carbon dioxide and alcohol. And we know that Jesus was not subject to decay or to sin. And again, this would be the fermentation would be a process analogous to sin, just like the leavening the whole lump. So that's why we say it's unfermented juice, unfermented fruit of the vine. And so He held that up and he said, "This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." And then if that's not enough to show that it's symbolic, he says in verse 26, "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he comes." He said, you're showing it. You're giving a picture of what's happening here. You're giving a picture of what Christ did. The bread being lifted up, unleavened. Jesus, without sin, went to the cross where his body was broken for us, just like the bread is broken for us in the Lord's Supper. And then the fruit of the vine, unfermented, the pure, uncorrupted with sin, blood of Jesus Christ that was shed to pay for our sins. We're picturing that. We're doing that and remembering what Christ did for us. Now, having said all that, we do the Lord's Supper in remembrance, just like the Bible says. Now, the Roman Catholic Church, they came up with a doctrine called transubstantiation, and they're not original in this. There are other religions, pagan religions, that believed that they had a piece of bread that became the body of their god. I believe the Egyptians had a practice like that with I think it was Horus or whatever, but at any rate, getting back to this, if transubstantiation was true, here's what my question is. What difference would it make whether you had gluten in the flour that made the bread to be used in the communion service? Because according to Roman Catholic Church, transubstantiation, the priest goes through a certain process and speaks certain words, and the host is transformed into the literal body and blood of Jesus Christ. Even though it still looks like a wheat-based bread, even though it still smells like a wheat-based bread, even though it still tastes like a wheat-based bread, according to Catholic doctrine, it has ceased to be a wheat-based bread and become the literal body and blood of Christ. Now, here's my question. If that's true, why would somebody with a gluten allergy have a problem taking the host? You ever think about that? Now, I didn't come up with that thought. I heard that actually from a Roman Catholic individual when that was being discussed, I think probably about 20 years ago on a radio program out of Akron, Ohio. There was a case down in Canton, Ohio, where some people who were allergic to gluten were petitioning the church to allow them to have gluten-free hosts. And he said, "No, wait a minute, I'm a Catholic. If it becomes the body and blood of Christ, what difference does it make? It's not gluten anymore. It shouldn't bother you." But apparently it still did, which tells me nothing really changed. It's still bread. And that's because nothing does change. It's because when we observe the Lord's Supper, we do this, as the Bible says, "This do in remembrance of me." It's a picture of the body of Christ that was broken for you and for me. And the unfermented grape juice is the blood, a picture of the blood that was shed for us to pay for our sins. Well, we're coming fast to the end of this segment, but we've got Jeremiah waiting there, and we're going to get Jeremiah on the program here in just a moment. And let's see, do we have Jeremiah there?
Yes, I am.
Hey, Jeremiah, got just a couple of minutes. Sorry about that. I'll have to make it quick.
Well, I can hold until after break.
Well, go ahead, real quick. We got you on. We got about 3 minutes, so.
I got my King James Bible from Book of Deuteronomy.
Uh-huh.
Chapter 20,
mm-hmm.
verse 19.
Yes, sir.
You can answer the question after the break if you want to.
Okay, go ahead and introduce it for us.
Okay, it says, Then, when thou shalt besiege a city, a long time in making war against it to take it, thou shalt not destroy the trees, therefore by force and mass against them, for thou mayest eat of them, and thou shalt not cut them down, for the tree of the field is man's life, to enjoy them and in peace. Only the trees which thou know shall not be trees for meat. Thou shalt destroy and cut them down, and shall build bulwarks against the city that makes war with thee, till it is subdued.
All right. And the question?
The question is, when it talks about the tree of the field of is man's life, what does that verse talk about?
All right, and give us that reference again, Deuteronomy chapter 20.
20, verse 19.
Okay, I was on the wrong page. There we go. I got it now. I was just one page over. Yeah, there's certain trees, and we may pick this up a little bit too, but there's certain trees, we got a couple minutes here, that are, you know, provide food. You know, here in this country, we know about apple trees and pear trees and peach trees, and there's also things like almond trees and pecan trees and walnut trees, and they provide food. And of course, over there in that part of the world, you would have had date palms and fig trees and olive trees and all that. Those trees were important, and they provided food, and they provided necessary things. And so when they were going to lay siege to a city, they needed to build things, you know, to battering rams and other things. They needed to build shelters or something. Rather than cut down the food trees, they were to cut down trees that weren't used for things like that. There's a lot of other trees that they could cut down. And just like here, you know, you could cut down an elm tree or an ash tree or a spruce tree or a white pine or you know, sugar pine or where, you know, depending where you're at, a Douglas fir or something, and use those trees to you know, to build your battering rams or your bulwarks to try and go and attack a city, rather than cut down the food trees, the useful trees for that. Because then once you captured the city and you're going to live there, you have the fruit trees and the nut trees there available for you. So, yeah. The tree of the field is man's life, so you don't want to use those things when you're in the field. So hopefully that kind of caught your question there.
I can wait until after the break for the next question.
Okay. Yeah, well, we're coming up on the break right now. We'll have to make it quick then, but stay tuned. We've got another half hour to go, and we look forward to continuing the conversation.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show's been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6000.
6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, and we'll be here until midnight tonight. I hope you'll be able to stick with us and join in the conversation. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. Our toll-free line is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Got a few people waiting. We're going to get to here momentarily. Just a reminder that you can find us at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can also check us out on Facebook. Just simply go to facebook.com and it's /livewithpastoral. And we are trying out tonight again our Facebook Live broadcast to see how that works. And not sure if the sound of the callers is going out on that or not. Nobody's actually posted a comment to let us know whether or not they're hearing the callers or anything. We've tried something tonight of gentlemen at church wired together something so that we can try to patch the Chromebook that's broadcasting the Facebook Live directly into the where my headsets are plugged in at. So hopefully what I'm hearing in my headset is being heard on Facebook. But unfortunately, I have no way of knowing that unless somebody types a comment as to whether or not they're hearing that. But also a reminder, of course, that you can check us out online at, like I said, livewithpastoral.com or Facebook. We're brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, my home church where I pastor, and also by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, Ohio. If you're in Northeast Ohio, up in the Cleveland area, and looking for a really good pizza, check out East Coast Pizza located at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. That's 4889 Turney Road. You can call East Coast Pizza for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. If you mention Live with Pastor Al, you can get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. And hey, if you're outside the area, it's too far to come for a pizza for yourself, you can always, maybe you want to add pizza to a existing lineup of food that you have in a restaurant of your own, or want to start your own pizza shop, call East Coast Pizza at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. Ask for Gus. He can help you get started in your own pizza business. And it's not a franchise. It's his own recipe. And trust me, it's good. Just had one of his pizzas last Thursday and enjoyed it immensely. All right, we're going to get back to our program here. And let's see, got a couple people calling in. That number is 888-677-9673. And Jeremiah, we'll take for just a minute here real quick. Jeremiah, have to make it quick. Got a full board here, so go ahead.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we got you. And you had asked in the last segment about Deuteronomy chapter 20 verse 19, I believe it was, about the tree of the field, and you had a follow-up question with that, I believe.
I have a next question. The book of Ephesians chapter 3.
Ephesians chapter 3.
Verse 14.
All right, let me get turned over there.
You read from 14 through 19, but I'm not going to read all the verses.
All right, Ephesians chapter 3, starting in verse number 14, you said?
15.
Or 15, okay. Actually, the sentence starts in verse 14, where it says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ."
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Go ahead.
It says, "For this cause I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." And it talks about the whole family. I mean, the whole family of Christians going to be in heaven and earth. His name.
I'm sorry, I missed what you were saying there.
First it says the whole family.
I was having a sound issue here, just a moment. Let me get my thing straightened out here. I bumped my volume control and kind of blanked out. Didn't hear quite what you said there. You said verse 15, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named?
Yeah, and it says the whole family. That means the whole family of God, the Christians.
Well, we put this in the context there. As he said there in verse 14, for this cause bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, comma, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, comma, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with his with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. The sentence goes on there to verse 19, yes, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. And when we look at that, we're his children. He's talking about us as his children and Christ dwelling in us, in our hearts. We put our faith in Christ. He dwells in us. The Spirit of Christ is in us, and we belong to him. We're adopted into his family. And you think in particular right now, we take the name Christian, don't we? Because we're adopted into his family. So, yeah, I think when you look at that, and he's talking about God is doing for us and the love of God and everything, grounded in love and knowing the love of Christ and all that, and being filled with the fullness of God. He's talking about believers here. And I think in verse 15, when he says, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, there's believers in heaven right now. There's believers here in the earth right now. We're all a part of his family. And we take his name. His name is on us.
I have my King James Bible open up. My Bible says, strength through the Spirit, for verse 14 starts. That's what the whole paragraph talks about.
Strength through the Spirit. Yeah, well, I guess, but like I said, I think the family in heaven, like I said, would be Christians, and we're certainly bowing to the Lord Jesus Christ. We think of all that he's done for us. But
I want to continue reading the verses, and I'll talk to you next week.
Okay, appreciate that, Jeremiah. Thanks for calling, and we're going to jump over to Daryl down in Tampa, Florida. Daryl, welcome to the program tonight.
Hi, Pastor Al. How are you doing?
Good to hear from you again.
Yeah, it's me, your Sunday school kid, and I promise I won't talk about dinosaurs or UFOs, but your subject tonight caught my interest, and say this. I respect your belief in drinking wine. I respect it as a brother in Christ, but I kind of disagree. I will quote you this, and you can tell me what do you think about this, about the scripture. I believe it's in Romans where it says, be not drunk with wine, where is in excess.
Right.
But be thou filled with the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have to tell you, I've been alive for 53 years. I have never seen anybody inebriated off of drinking grape juice. I'm being honest about it. I have never seen that.
Well,
and
I can respond to that, but go ahead, make the point there.
What you were saying about the gluten, I would encourage all New Testament believers that we don't really necessarily follow the Jewish dietary laws, that play over it and give thanks. Now, if you feel that way, that's your personal preference not to eat bread like that. But I would assume that you eat bread that has leaven in it.
Oh, yeah, but not for the Lord's Supper. Because when I'm taking a piece of bread that represents the body of Christ, the body of Christ was without sin, and like I said in the last segment or last half hour,
I do that too.
Yeah,
with the ceremony.
Yeah, but leavened bread I eat all the time. I mean, I like making bread in my bread maker.
Yeah.
I love the smell of it when it rises.
And the smell, yeah.
And if you notice the smell of a bakery, if you ever drive by a bakery, smells a lot like a brewery.
Oh,
because a similar process is taking place. Yeast is digesting sugars.
All I know is it smells good.
Yeah, but in regards to the wine, the wine in Jesus' day, they took that grape juice, and a lot of times they'd put it in a flask, a animal skin bottle. And that's why the Bible talked about not putting new wine in old bottles, because when you took that fresh grape juice, you squeezed it out, and they, and in fact, back at various times, they would refer to wine as the concentrated grape juice that they would boil down, you know, to where it almost be a thick, sludgy stuff, and then they would reconstitute that, mix it with water, you know, and that would still be called wine. But what I was going to say is that you put that new grape juice that's unfermented in those skin bottles, and you throw that across the back of a donkey or a camel, and you start out across that semi-arid land, and it's rocking back and forth, and that sun's warming it up, and there's bacteria there's yeast that gets in it, and you know, I remember we had some fresh squeezed apple cider. I mean, it was fresh, unpasteurized, no preservatives, nothing. It was just fresh squeezed apple cider, and it was in a plastic jug. And we were drinking that, and we had, it was a warm day, and we had it sitting there, and we went somewhere, I think over the weekend or something. When we come back, that plastic jug was all swollen up like a balloon ready to burst.
I've had that experience before too. I tell you about I would tell you about the plums. I know you got other coffee on the line. And we went on a trip, put them in a thermos, and totally forgot about that thermos. Was in the church and came in there and started smelling something. And it's like, oh my God, somebody got some wine in here. And I opened it up, and those plums had fermented. It's like the thing out here for pastor.
Now, okay, you got your story there. I was talking about the cider. Now, think about that grape juice in that skin bottle on the back of that camel going across that warm, semi-arid landscape, rocking back and forth. At what point did that non-alcoholic grape juice that you started out with become fermented? You know, it starts little by little by little, and as it ferments, the skin begins to swell, you know, because it's producing gas. And that's why it said not to put new wine in old bottles, because the old bottle's all stretched out, and you put the new wine in there, and it expands and breaks the bottle, and you lose the grape juice, the wine, and you lose the bottle. And and so at some point, you know, when we saw that apple cider that was left in that plastic jug, we saw it all swollen up, and I took the cap off. It was an experience like you described with those plums. I knew that it was past its sanctification date.
Right.
So, and we actually let it sit for a while to turn into vinegar. And
I'll give you one scripture before, because I know other people that there's a scripture that says, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink.
Right.
Okay. But people harp so much on the drink. I don't think the apostle was talking about water. And what about the meat? There were some people who wanted to eat pork.
Mm-hmm.
But if you were a Jew, you were like, I don't know about that. But you had Gentile Christians that were coming in to the body, and they didn't have any problems, you know, eating that. So the apostle had to address that. But I respect your beliefs.
Oh yeah, well, I appreciate that,
Pastor Al.
And yeah, thanks for the call there, Daryl. I appreciate that. And I'll just add one thing to that. You know, they weren't concentrating the alcoholic content in that wine, you know, and oftentimes I've read before where the strong drink mentioned in the Bible was probably much weaker in alcoholic content than a typical wine that you would find today. And I would certainly add too, nobody ever became an alcoholic by not drinking, you know, or, you know, they didn't drink alcoholic beverages in the first place. So, but we understand that. But getting back to the point of the matter was, it's the fermentation process that represents decay. And so that's why I believe that for the Lord's Supper, certainly unfermented grape juice and non-leavened bread would be the things that best represented the perfect body and blood of Christ. But we venture into some of those other areas again at a future date, and had some updates on our sound. I guess we're being heard a little better. We turned up the sound, and hopefully that's doing better. It's a learning process, but you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, 888-677-9673. We've got Fran calling in tonight. Fran, welcome to the program this evening.
Hey, thank you so much.
Good evening.
I'm calling in about that Third World War they're speaking about. mentioned on the news, and I was wondering, is that war going to be with Russia?
Well, there's a lot of potentials. I would argue we've already been through the Third World War when we look at the Cold War because of some of the things that happened there. But or if you wanted to say the war on terror that we're involved in. But I know what you mean. You're talking about a war like World War One, World War Two, where there's going to be, you know, large theaters of war and things like that. And there's a number of places where things could flare up right away. I mean, obviously, the situation with North Korea is very dangerous. And, you know, the Chinese are using North Korea as a proxy to try and keep us off base and occupied with that so that they can do things. But the truth of the matter is, China needs us. You know, the trade imbalance that we have with China means that China would have a harder time losing our markets than we would have losing their products. We could get cheap labor and cheap products from other countries in Central and South America or Africa. There's cheap labor available in the world elsewhere to, you know, to make our iPhones and things like that. But China wants to keep us off base there. I was reading a great article the other day where they were talking about how China, you know, we've got, I think it's most favored nations trading status thing coming up for review later this year. And they want to use North Korea as a bargaining chip. You know, well, if you give us most favored nation trading status, we'll intervene on your behalf with North Korea and get them to calm down. But there's always a thing, regardless of what China does. You know, the guy there in North Korea, he's kind of a nutcase and he's kind of a loose cannon. And if he starts something, you know, I have no doubt that the carrier groups that President Trump sent into the area around the Korean Peninsula could easily take him out, especially if China did not come into the mix. But a lot of people would die. A lot of people would be injured within just the first few hours, first day or so of any kind of conflict there. And it would be a terrible tragedy and a horrible thing. But it's a very, very touchy situation. And then, of course, you've got in the Middle East with Syria and Iran and places there, and particularly Iran and ISIS, and the constant threat from Iran to attack Israel and to attack the United States. And so they could flare up there. And, of course, the North Korean one could bring China into the picture. The Syria and Iran and ISIS and all that stuff going on could bring Russia into the picture, and all that has the potential for expanding into a worldwide war. And so it is a very real threat. We do know, though, from Ezekiel chapter 38, that there is coming a large war to that part of the world that's going to involve Russia and Iran and Turkey and probably many of the Balkan countries and Ukraine and Kazakhstan, as well as Libya and some of the North African countries and different ones where they're going to invade Israel. We know that's foretold in the book of Ezekiel chapter 38. We also know from various places like Psalm 83 and elsewhere. I've actually got a short book on our website, livewithpastoral.com, called The Coming Arab-Israeli Nuclear War, that I wrote probably about 4 or 5 years ago now, I guess, looking at some things that argue for a coming war, regional war, between Israel and probably Egypt, Jordan, Syria, Lebanon, Iraq, what would be the Islamic State areas, and some of those things in that part of the world. And, so there are these wars that we know that are coming. And remember, Jesus said one of the signs of the times, would you hear wars and rumors of wars, didn't he?
Right.
So We know that there are things that are going to happen during the tribulation. And now, if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, according to the Bible, you're going to be caught up to be with the Lord in heaven during the time of the tribulation. We're not appointed under wrath. That's the wrath of God being poured out on the world that's rejected Him. And during that time, there's going to be tremendous wars and natural disasters and all kinds of terrible things happening. And a large percentage of the world's population is going to die during that period of time. In fact, the book being opened with the seven seals and the riders, the horsemen, riders of the apocalypse, one of them is war, if you remember. So, yeah, war is going to come to this world, but hopefully we can reach as many people with the gospel before some kind of major war hits us.
Well, you know, China, we owe them so much money. We lend from them or borrow from them.
And
it could lead to a war because they...
It's possible, but China's also sold a lot of their the debt to other countries. I think at one time we actually Japan had bought some of those loans. You know, just like when you get a loan and you get a notice saying somebody bought your loan. China sold a lot of our loans in the past, and I don't know what the exact ratio is now, but it goes up and it goes down. But fact of the matter is, you know, the best thing that we can do is, you know, point people to Christ and know that we're saved ourselves and do what we can to reach people with the gospel, because that's the best preparation that they can have. You know, I think it makes sense to have supplies of food and things like that in case of emergency or disaster. But the ultimate thing is we've got to have Jesus Christ, know Him as our Lord and Savior. So...
Okay, well, thank you so much.
Appreciate that, Fran. Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
Bye.
And, of course, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We've got Wade, who's been patiently waiting for us. And, Wade, welcome to the program tonight.
Hi, Pastor.
Hi, good evening.
Thank you. Good evening. Now, I know that Christ's grace is sufficient for all.
Mm-hmm.
And I also know that all can be redeemed.
Yeah,
and I'll even tell you that I am a Calvinist and believe in sovereign grace. I'm not Arminian, but I still have this terrible, nagging question about suicide.
Well,
I'd like to know what you think about that.
Yeah, and again, there's a couple things that we can look at real quick here, but first and foremost, and leaving the issues of Calvinism and Arminianism aside, and just a quick note there, a lot of people think you ought to either be toward the Calvinist or Arminian side, and again, at our website, livewithpastoral.com, I do have an article there that talks about and presents it in a triangular format with a biblical position at the top of the triangle, and then Calvinism and Arminianism being three other points. But I won't get into that for time's sake. Let's look at the suicide question for a moment. Suicide is basically self-murder, right? I mean, it's killing of yourself. And we know that murder is a sin. And so suicide very clearly is a sin. But here's the thing. When we trust Christ as our Savior, okay, He forgives us for how many of our sins?
All of them.
Right. And obviously He forgives us of all of our past sins, but He also forgives us of our present sins and our future sins. Because when Jesus died on the cross, all of our sins were yet future, but Jesus, being God, knows what the future is. He's outside of time, and so God was able to put all of our sin upon Jesus on the cross, and He paid for all of our sin. So if suicide is a sin, it's a grievous sin, obviously, it's paid for. It's one of the sins. If a person commits suicide, that sin was already paid for. Now, here's the problem, though, is a lot of people are, I'll use the term this way, and I know it's kind of a loaded term, infected with a Catholic teaching of the, what do they call the venial sins and the mortal sins. And the mortal sins are sins that, you know, keep you out of heaven if you don't, and you got to confess these sins. You know, you sin and you got to confess them, and you got to make some kind of penance, some kind of thing that you have to do. And so if you commit suicide, you can't confess your sin and you can't do penance. You see how that works?
Sure.
And so as a result, that would be a sin if you follow that theory, that system of theology that would keep you from going to heaven because you can't confess it and you can't do penance. But if you follow what the Bible says, there's nothing in the Bible about venial and mortal sins. Instead, you are forgiven of all of your sin, whether you've confessed that final sin or not. Hey, we're out of time. Thanks for the call. Thanks for listening. God bless. Join us next time.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and every Friday night at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 o'clock on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.
The preceding program's views, claims, or representations may not reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Media Group.